One of the most frustrating experiences in life is to have a relationship with someone who is creative, extraordinarily talented, but also profoundly self-destructive. Even Jesus had difficulty dealing with such a person. He recruited 12 confidants, and one of them proved to be a Judas. One of them proved to betray his trust and his confidence. And as we examine the career of Judas Iscariot, and as we examine the lives of the Judases who bring chaos into our own lives, we have to begin with a fundamental truth. Before a Judas betrays anyone else, a Judas first betrays themselves. Before they bring chaos into our lives, they bring chaos into their own. They are often extraordinarily talented, amazingly creative, and they cannot help but engender affection. And yet they find a way to turn from the light to the darkness and bring pain into their own lives and to the lives of those who cherish them. And so this morning I put before you a question. How can we handle a Judas? Think of that passage in John where John describes Jesus as dipping the bread into the wine and handing it to Judas and saying to him, "All right, what you do, do quickly." And the other disciples assume that he's going off to make a donation to the poor in accordance with Passover custom, because after all, Jesus has put Judas in charge of everyone's finances. That confidence gives us an indication of how Jesus tried to deal with Judas. He recognized his gifts. He affirmed his creativity. He entrusted to him responsibility. He treated him as a friend, and he showed him another way of life. He was fully aware of Judas's dark side, but he gave him affirmation and respect and love and responsibility as a way of showing for him another way of life. Jesus trusted Judas. Did he pay a high price for that? Yes, but he understood something. The quickest way to turn a Judas into a Judas is to shun them, to ostracize them, to mistrust them, to treat them with fear. Judas may ultimately choose to be a Judas, but Jesus showed him another way through respect and affirmation and love and responsibility. So too, as we try to deal with the self-destructive people in our lives, our first responsibility is to affirm them, to love them, to trust them, even aware of the destructive consequences that might ensue. Yes, Judas took off and let the disciples think he was going to make a donation to the poor, when in fact he was going to align with Jesus' attackers. But understand this about a Judas. A Judas is very accomplished at lying. A Judas is very accomplished at lying to others and very accomplished at lying even unto themselves. Yeah. Judas, at one level, knew he was spurning the call of Christ. Paul says he was accounted among us But he turned aside and went to his own place. His own place was away from his friends. It was away from the call of light. It was away from Christ's love. He aligned with the forces of darkness and hatred. But he was lying to himself first. That wasn't what he was really doing. The same way the alcoholic skips the AA meeting, lying to himself, "Oh, I can handle this addiction myself." The student on the verge of dropping out avoids the very teacher who singles her or him out and affirms her his gifts. The person who is contemplating dishonesty avoids the very friend whose glance would keep him or her on the right path. The drug addict skips the counseling session with a person who gives them the very way of life. And even as they make these bad choices, they lie to themselves about the implications and the consequences of what they do. Judas aligns with Jesus' attackers, but he lies to himself about what he's really doing. Could it be that Judas was simply trying to force Jesus to bring the kingdom of God at hand? Could it be that by forcing him to confront his attackers, those who arrested him, that he would cause Jesus to respond by bringing the promised kingdom of God? Understand this about every Judas. They all have a rationale that they think justifies their actions. They all come with often what seems to be a good motive. And yet Judas is not really trying to force Jesus to bring the kingdom of God as Jesus defines it, but as Judas defines it. Judas is not trying to imitate the virtues and values of Christ. No, he's trying to manipulate Christ into imitating the virtues of Judas. Understand this about most destructive people in our lives. They have a flame of righteousness within them, but that flame never burns up into a fire of good. Rather, they dampen that flame and choose darkness over light. They often have good motives. They're not demonic. But even those good motives, they manipulate for a self-destructive purpose. Could it be simply that Judas was ordained by God to betray Jesus? Could it be that he was simply the biblically appointed fall guy? After all, says Peter, the scripture had to be fulfilled. Could it be that he was that tragic figure predestined by God to choose evil so as to further the redemption story? It's not just a theological question, it's an intensely personal question because it raises the issue. Do self-destructive people have to always choose self-destruction? And the answer is no. Understand, this is difficult ground, but there is a difference between knowing someone will choose evil and predestining them to choose evil. Judas could have made other choices. As Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And yet, understand this. If you were trying to change the arc of the narrative of a destructive person, you are going to be in for 100 moments of frustration. You're going to be in for 1,000 moments of anger. You're going to be in for multiple experiences of disappointment. To try to change a self-destructive person from self-destruction involves anger, frustration, and disappointment multiplied. I would not hide that truth from you. And yet Christ calls us to pour forth our compassion even when it feels like our love is making no impact. Now, to a critical question. Is it ever okay to let a Judas be Judas? Is it ever okay to simply let them go? And the answer, as painful as it is to say it, is yes. When I was a seminary student, I had a pastor friend point my direction, a young man who's in our church, and he said he'd be a wonderful roommate. His name was Jim. Jim's least objectionable habit was not paying his portion of the rent. Jim turned out to be a person with an alcohol problem. He turned out to be a person who liked to drive cars, which was a problem because Jim didn't own a car. And so he would borrow cars that didn't belong to him without permission and drive them. He took my car one night without permission and wrecked it while drinking. Melissa, with whom I was dating at the time, figured up all of Jim's debts to me and realized it was more than enough to pay for her wedding ring. I went the second and third and fourth mile for Jim. I paid his debts. I pulled him out of bars. I convinced the police not to arrest him, to give me time to recover the cars he'd stolen. I did everything within my power trying to transform this self-destructive person from self-destruction until I finally realized I wasn't saving him from being a Judas. I was empowering him to be a Judas. And so one night I packed his things. I found a place for him at a mission. I gave him some money, and I said, Jim, you are on your own. I realized the only way to save him was to let him hit rock bottom. And I would love to stand before you this morning and say, my action changed Jim's life, but I don't know that. His life went out of my orbit, and our paths have never crossed again. But I knew for his sake, I had to let him go, be a Judas. Jesus says to Judas, what you do, go do it quickly. Jesus allows Judas to go be a Judas because he realizes in the end, that's all he can do. If you have a Judas in your life, and you've poured energy and effort into changing that person's life without impact, there may come a point where you have to let them go. When? My principle is this. When that Judas brings more destruction into your life than your life can adequately handle, you have to step back. When they bring more chaos into your structured existence than you can healthily handle, you have to exercise your God-given prudence to let them go their way. There comes a time when you have to let Judas be a Judas. Where is God in all this? How is it that God allows self-destructive people to become so self-destructive? I stand before you honestly and say, I don't have an answer. All I can say is the God who gives us freedom to turn to redemption also gives us the freedom to turn away from it. But I also remind you of this. We can't draw too sharp a distinction between the Judases and ourselves. We have some of that same darkness. And when you see a Judas make a bad choice that leads to destruction and chaos, you can look at your own life and see dangerous flirtations, improper choices, serious misjudgments that could have pointed your life down a pathway of destruction. As you witness somebody else mess up their existence, you can reflect about moments in your life when you could have chosen the wrong path and misused what talents you had. Sometimes it's in witnessing the effects of disbelief that we're reminded of the power and necessity of clinging to God's values. Sometimes it's in witnessing extreme foolishness that we understand the value of wisdom. Sometimes it's seeing in somebody else's mistakes that we peer into our own lives and say, God, there but for your grace, your amazing grace, go I need your guidance every day. Peter looks at his friends and says, Judas was accounted among our number. He had his role of ministry. Peter wanted even that group in the wake of Judas' betrayal to remember him at his best. Not to ignore his evil, but to remember he also did good. And to love him even amidst his evil and betrayal. Is it frustrating to love a Judas and not make a difference? Absolutely. How many times in my own prayers I have said, Lord, somehow can you reach this person's heart? My words of love roll off their hearts like water off a rock. Lord, how can you reach them? Because I cannot. I cannot seem to make a difference. That's a painful prayer to pray. But it's a real one. And yet I say to you this morning, as you reflect upon your own life, as you see pathways before you that would lead you from your own destiny, as you feel the tug of darkness away from light, as you sense in your own being a recognition that you haven't summoned the courage to make commitments to a nurturing family that would bring you from light away from darkness, that you haven't made the lifestyle commitments that could maximize your gifts. Choose love over hatred. Choose light over darkness. Choose connectivity over loneliness. Choose the pathway of God's people. And don't slither away to your own place, lying to yourself about the implications of what you're doing. All of us have the potential to be a Judas. And all of us are haunted by the memory of past bad choices. But the grace of God is greater than all our sin. And we can all take confidence in the deep, deep love of Jesus Christ. May we pray together. God, even as we deal with those people in our lives with whom we do not know how to deal, even as we find hatred in response to love and rejection in response to invitation, may we continue to pour ourselves out, trusting to your grace and clinging to your hope. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.